discipleship. There's some related stories here, or unrelated maybe, in the text that I had Tim read. But I think they all focus on the idea of discipleship. They all focus on the idea of the kingdom of God and who's part of it and how do we know who's part of it. Many years ago, a Wisconsin Central family was moved to Fond du Lac, and they visited Trinity Baptist Church because down in Louisiana, where they were from, they were Southern Baptist. And so they attended Trinity Baptist Church. And after they attended, I went to their home and discussed with them things about our church. And yes, they were Baptists, and yes, the doctrine that we believed was exactly like theirs, but as they began to question concerning things here at Trinity Baptist Church, I found myself continually defending the culture and habits of our Baptist church versus their Baptist church from the southern reaches of Louisiana, their Southern Baptist background. And as we discussed, I could sense that they weren't going to be, he especially, the Southern Baptist deacon that he wasn't going to be happy unless Trinity Baptist was just like his church in southern Louisiana. And so finally I became a little bit irritated, and I shouldn't have done this, it was the wrong thing to do. But I finally looked him in the eye and I said, "Sir, God is not a Southern Baptist." The conversation ended shortly. I left. And that family never, that large clan that had been brought up here by Wisconsin Central, never again attended Trinity Baptist Church. In fact, to the best of my knowledge, later on I found out that that family never did find a church in the Fond du Lac area, basically didn't go to church while they were up here, and now are back down in Louisiana. God is not a Southern Baptist. For that matter, God is not a Baptist. Jenny's father may have problems with that statement, huh? God is not a Baptist. He's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's not a biblicist. He's not a fundamentalist. He's not a conservative. He's not a liberal. God is not anything that would be man-derived, man-ordained, man's idea, man's creation. God is not any of these things. However, the Apostle John, obviously, was a Southern Baptist. Here John said he was following Jesus, and as he was following Jesus, John said, "We saw some guys and they were casting out demons." Now stop a minute. These guys were casting out, I've never done that, at least not that I know of, not intentionally I've never cast out a demon. That would be something, wouldn't it, to know that someone was demon possessed and walk up to him and cast out the demon? That would be an awesome thing. Here were these guys that were casting out demons. That's something that's beyond me. They were not only casting out demons, they were doing so in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo! That's a powerful thing to think about, that these guys were doing that. And John says, "We rebuked them." We told them to stop what they were doing. Because notice what the text says. "Because he does not follow with us." I looked this up just to make sure, and I heard Tim's translation read a little differently. It doesn't follow, and I forget the preposition that was there, but the idea is that he's not part of our group, and he's not one of us. Notice what Jesus says. "But Jesus says to him, 'Do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side.'" John must have been a Southern Baptist. Why do we do that? Why do we insist on people being just like us, or a part of our group? Have you ever been in a circle where you were on the outside? You know, usually I hang with people I know, and usually I'm kind of in charge of where I go, just because of, you know, who I am and the roles I play. Because of my Kiwanis connection the other day, I found myself in a group of people, and they were talking about UW-Madison. And it became plain that in that circle, anybody who was anybody not only had attended UW-Madison, but had become part of the groups on campus, you know, the big men on campus, and had graduated and still had those connections, in fact, had tickets to all the games. And I obviously had nothing to say in that circle, and you know what? It was weird. It was weird finding myself on the outside instead of the inside. You see, to them, it was a little bit, if you didn't make it into UW-Madison and you didn't become part of us, then there must be something wrong with you. Why do we do that? Why is there this certain ostracization? Why are we like John? Note, again, this wasn't Judas. You know, you'd see Judas doing this. Hey, Lord, he's not like us. Or maybe Andrew would have been this immature. Or Peter, you know, the bold one, ever wanting to protect Jesus. He may be, but this was John, the beloved one, the one with a heart like Christ, or should have had a heart like Christ, who said, we stopped him because he wasn't like us. Perhaps you have not yet identified with where I'm going with my sermon. If not, let me put the cookies on a lower shelf. I believe that every human being has some natural prejudicial tendencies. We tend to judge people from a self perspective. We judge people based on sex. You know, if guys may prefer guys and girls prefer guys, and I don't mean for sex, I mean just for friends and thinking that you're superior. You know, boys are better than girls. You see that very naturally in junior ages. Boys are better than girls. Girls have cooties, you know. And if you want to get a Bible school or a WANA group going real good, divide the boys and the girls. You know, why is it that there is that natural thing inside of us that it's because of who I am, is it not? And there are women in here who wouldn't trust any man. And there are men in here who don't respect anyone if that person happens to be a woman. We judge people based on education. Do they speak like we speak? Do they know how to put a sentence together correctly? Use adverbs and adjectives in the right places? Always have their subjects and their verbs agreeing? And if not, do we judge them accordingly? Did they go to the school we went to? Are they a graduate of the school that we attended? Their speech, their accent, their job, are they making money? Are they making as much money as I'm making? You know, we ask people, you know, what do you do for a living? And every guy in this room knows that when you ask a guy what he does for a living, there's something in the back of your mind that says, I wonder if he makes more than me. There's a way we judge each other based upon our economic status, what we've achieved, the things we have, the cars we drive, our traditions, our cultures, our race. We are very provincial. Here in this side of Wisconsin, we are third-generation Northwestern European immigrants who settled here in these states. We have certain foods that we like. We have certain things that we do. And you know what? If you're not part of us, then you can't be quite right. We speak English without an accent, even if sometimes our THs sound like Ds. And every once in a while, Grandpa still sings a bit when he's tired and he speaks. We like the Packers, the Bears, the Cubs, the Brewers. Anything else is just weird. Some of this prejudice, and that's what it is rather harmless. But some is sinful and destructive. And all of it, when you think about it, all of it is rooted in sin because all of it judges everybody else by me. Self-focus. Even though, as harmless as rooting for the home team, and there's nothing wrong with rooting for the home team, even something as harmless as that is rooted in sin because it judges everybody else based upon me, where I am, where I'm from. It's pride. It's a self-perspective. I think some of us live in a very small world. We think everything is as we see it through our lenses. So let's get back to this Southern Baptist named John. He saw this guy doing this wonderful thing, this wonderful beneficial thing that was helping society, helping the world, honoring God, and he stopped him because he wasn't one of us. He wasn't with us. How did Jesus respond? Jesus rebuked John. And he said, if he's not on the other side, then he's on our side. I've broken this set of lessons here into two sections. The first one is misjudging disciples. We can misjudge other disciples. We can misjudge other people's behaviors. And the first lesson I think that Jesus would have us to learn here is this. Disciples of Jesus don't have to be with us to be on our side. Disciples of Jesus don't have to be with us to be on our side. Christians tend to fight against themselves. We shoot at officers in other divisions. I'm not a big John Piper fan. Some of you won't even know who I'm talking about. I disagree with John Piper somewhat significantly about what I believe is a very important doctrinal issue. But you know what? I hope John Piper has a great Lord's Day today. John Piper is a pastor of a Baptist church over in Minneapolis. I hope he has a great day today. I hope his ministry is effective today. I hope the people in his church are challenged by the Word of God today and that they understand the Word of God today. I hope that God blesses him today and that John Piper sees God's face and that the people get the reflection of that as the Word of God is preached. I hope he has a great day, because he who is not against us is on our side. Let me bring this to town. I hope Larry Witt has a great day today preaching over at First Baptist Church. I hope the word as he preaches it is effective. I hope that church grows. I hope Will Kennedy has an effective ministry today as he preaches the word of God. I would like to see God bless the community church and Lighthouse Christian and Grace Reformed. I would like to see South Shore Evangelical Church double this year. And just because of my affinity for them and their doctrine, I hope Calvary Bible Church triples this year. I would love to see these churches that are in Fond du Lac, and yes, there are other churches in Fond du Lac that respect God and God's Word and take God's Word as it is. And there are other churches in town that would teach a gospel that's by faith and grace alone, resting only in what God does. I just mention these churches because they're probably doctrinally most identified with or close to Trinity Baptist Church. But I would like to see God bless these things. What would be better? To see the bars in Fond du Lac busier on Saturday nights, or to see Calvary Bible Church triple in size? Which would you rather? More people dropping out of school and using drugs and wasting their lives, or Fond du Lac Christian having a great school year and doubling in size? Unfortunately, sometimes we get the idea that we'll be better off if Fond du Lac Christian dies. No! The community will be better off, and God would be better off if Fond du Lac Christian School is blessed. I would rather see Lighthouse Christian Church, though I disagree with some what I think are substantial doctrines, tongues, eternal security, I would rather see Lighthouse Christian Church have a great evangelistic effort this spring when they put on the promise for the 198th time. I would rather see God bless them and use them and people get saved than to have kids turn from their faith, as they would be taught so in a public college, or to have evolution be believed by the people in this town, or again to see the bars swell in their census and more liquor license be put out and more homes be destroyed because of drugs or porn. Wouldn't it be better to see Lighthouse Christian do well? Yes! Now you say, Pastor, you're saying it doesn't matter where you go to church? Absolutely not. This is the best church in town. And I can say that with all prejudice. Yes, prejudice is a good word. I think this church is the most biblical church. I think it's a friendly church. I think it has a great, good-looking pastor. Yes. You notice Jesus didn't tell John to quit following him? Did you notice that? Jesus didn't tell John, you know, you should quit being one of the 12 and go follow that demon caster outer that's on our side. No, he didn't say that. I do believe there's discernment that's needed. And by the way, of all the churches I've just mentioned and all the ministries I've just mentioned, I believe discernment and maturity would lead you to pick some over others. And obviously I joke just a little bit when I say this is the best. Because I do believe there's a certain, yes, discernment that's necessary in choosing one ministry or one preacher over another. And at different times of your life, one ministry might be able to help you grow. The ultimate joy, or the ultimate goal, should I rather say, is to be like Jesus Christ and agree with this book. And some ministries will help you do that better than others. So there is discernment. It does matter where you go to church. But as Christians, we need to remember that he who is not with us, or he that is not against us, rather, is on our side. We shouldn't be shooting at officers that are leading other divisions in this Christian war against Satan. Nor should we be shooting against other people in our division. Yes, Christians fight not only within ministries or within other ministries, but sometimes within our own ministries. Trinity Baptist Church should not have its Trinity Baptist School fighting against Awana. And Awana should not be fighting against Sunday school, and Sunday school against the food pantry, and the food pantry against junior church, and junior church against the choir, and the choir against the nursery, and the nursery against the women's committees, and the women's committees against the men's meetings, and the men's meetings against the youth group, and the youth group against the Sunday night service, and the Sunday night service against the home builder. No, we're in this together. And we're not only part of the same army that's heading in the same direction like we are with other believers in Jesus Christ, but Paul says that in the church of Jesus Christ, in a local manifestation of the body of Christ like this, we are the body. We are the hands and eyes and ears and nose, and we're all in the same body here. We wouldn't be lopping off our fingers and toes if we are in a natural body. So why do we do it in the church of Jesus Christ, in a church like this? He who is not against us is on our side. I think we need to remember that just because a disciple isn't like me doesn't mean he's not a disciple. Another issue that would be maybe like this, or an issue that maybe would be like this, is school choice. I'm not talking politically, I'm talking about within our congregation. You can know my bias by looking at my children. I send my kids to Trinity Baptist School. My son attends a Christian college. I'm not saying I would never do anything else, but that's my bias, and you can see that in my life. But we as a congregation, we have public school families who encourage their children to go to public colleges. We have homeschool families that encourage their kids to go to public colleges. And we have homeschool families that encourage their kids to go to Christian colleges. We have Christian school kids that go to public colleges. And we have Trinity Baptist kids who go to Christian colleges or to public colleges. That ought not divide us. We ought to pray for those who are going to public colleges that their minds wouldn't be blinded, that they would have much discernment as they listen to professors who don't respect this book. And we ought to pray that they would be strengthened. And we also ought to pray for the kids who go to Christian colleges, because you know what? They can backslide there too. They can get used to hearing the Bible every day, or they can fall in with friends who are rebellious and don't want to be there. You see, we should pray for all of our young people, our teenagers, that they would make godly choices, whether they're in a public school or homeschool or FCS or Trinity Baptist School. Again, I have a certain bias, but we're all in the same side in this if we be families trying to do what God's best is for our kids and put them in the direction that God would have them to go. Music. Music is another issue that many times Christians disagree with. You know what music I think is most godly? The stuff I like. You know, every once in a while, some stuff around here is too classical. It's too long hair. I'm not real. And every once in a while, some stuff is just rocky enough that I'm not crazy about it. You know? I like the gospel stuff, the stuff that's easy to sing. That's what I like. And so that must be what God likes too. Right? Because it's what I like. Right? You with me? Or am I getting too close to home? There is a certain prejudice that we all have. Let's admit it, we're a little bit like John. Sometimes we slide into being Southern Baptists. And we need to be reminded that God is not a Southern Baptist. This will be on the internet. This will be on our website. You can send this to your dad. Have him listen to it, Jenny. And he'll never come here to church again, I can guarantee you. You know, we teach these prejudices to our children. We need to remember that God is. And he is outside our box. And to the extent we limit our God to our box, we don't have the God of the Bible. Misjudging disciples. Disciples of Jesus don't have to be with us to be on our side. I think a second thing we see from the next story is this. The disciples of Jesus are not made by destroying lives. Here's the situation. They go into this Samaritan village, and as they go into the village, Jesus is not focusing on the Samaritans. Jesus is his heart set to go to Jerusalem because of the ministry that God has with him there, the ministry of death. And as Jesus' heart and face are set towards Jerusalem, he doesn't pay a lot of attention to the Samaritans, and so they reject him. They don't even want him to stay there, and this raises the ire. And notice again, The disciples say this. And James and John, again, the guy that's closest to Jesus, John says, Jesus, should we pray down fire? And John wants to do this. I mean, you can just see it, right? He says, you know, he's read the Old Testament. He's read about Elijah calling fire down from heaven and Elisha calling those she-bears out from the woods to devour those kids that are making fun of his baldness. Yeah, I think that's a fair thing. And so John, he wants to do this. And Jesus says, no. You do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy, but to save. Not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. You don't make disciples by taking out of a bazooka and blasting them. I think sometimes some Bible-believing preachers want to have the Rush Limbaugh style of conversion, you know? Just insult, and there's worse Hannity and there's other people, just insult people and cut them down. Sometimes when I listen to preachers, especially creation scientist preachers, seem to be this way. You know, the whole sermon is sarcasm and criticism of people with whom they disagree. It's almost like they have the fire called down from heaven, you know, missionary evangelistic outlook way. You know, just if you disagree with us, we'll kill you, that's all. I preached a sermon about homosexuality here way back when we were going through the book of Romans. It's probably been 8-9 years. And afterwards, a lady in our church came up to see me and said that her home pastor had talked about homosexuals on a regular basis from the pulpit, and he said this, all those, and he used a slang, you know, derogatory terms, they ought to be all herded together, put on a barge, shipped out into the middle of the Atlantic, and blown up. That's what we ought to do to them. Well, I'm sorry, but in the Word of God, that kind of arrogant, prideful, crude talk is condemned a whole lot more often than homosexuality is in the Bible. Now, Pastor, are you saying that? I'm not changing a single position with this message, by the way. If you think I'm softening or going yellow on you or not becoming a Baptist anymore, going yellow, you get it? Yeah, you're wrong. That was a Freudian slip. No, the homosexuality is condemned in the Word of God. It's plain. And anybody who doesn't see it is twisting the text. It does not believe that this word is really God's word. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. That said, converting them, the Samaritans, is not done by shooting them. That's not how you convert them. Jesus says, you don't have the right spirit here. I am white, male, 48, and grew up in Stuartville, Minnesota, with a bunch of Lutherans and Catholics in a Baptist parsonage. That's who I am. Now let's say I had a conversation with a Turkish female, 30 years old, grew up in an atheistic home and reared in England, London, downtown. Do you think she and I would agree about George Bush? You know, I don't think she and I would agree about anything because of where we were reared, because of who we are. And yet God loves her. Jesus Christ died for her. And my mission in life ought not to be making her a white 48-year-old male who grew up in Minnesota. That is not going to do anything for her. My goal is to point her to Jesus Christ, is it not? And allow her to become what God would have her to become. Now, if that happened, she'd probably agree with me on George Bush. Then again, maybe not. But my agenda is not to make her agree with me. Go to 1 Corinthians 8, not this right now, but write this down maybe, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and Romans chapter 14, and you'll see all the way through this that it is our agenda not to make people like us, but to accept people regardless of who they are, that God may make them like Jesus Christ. Misjudging disciples. Secondly, this morning, I think the next rest of the chapters talk about discerning disciples. How can you tell? Okay? People don't have to be like me. People don't have to be killed just because they're not like me. Then how do I know if someone's a Christian or not? Look at verses 57 and 58. Jesus, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever I go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What Jesus was trying to say there is that disciples of Jesus place the spiritual above the material. You want to know if someone's a Christian? You want to know if someone's heading the right direction, if they're becoming like Jesus? The emphasis of their life won't be on money. It won't be on toys. It won't be on trucks. It won't be on getting the best. It won't be on looking the best. The emphasis of their life will be on godly things, on Jesus Christ and emulating Him. Verse 59, then he said to another, follow me. Jesus called somebody, said, follow me. This is why David Olson's not afraid to walk up people and say, here, this is what you ought to be doing. It's a biblical thing. We should say to people, here, do this. We need help in Awana. We need help visiting. He may actually corner some of you today as you're walking out the door. Here's your package. That would be okay. Jesus said, follow me. Look what this guy said. Lord, let me first go bury my father. And at first reading, I got the opinion that dad was on the slab, you know. That the dad was dead, and he, you know, I thought Jesus was a little cold because Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. This isn't what the guy was saying. Dad wasn't on the cooler already. Dad wasn't waiting to be buried. They just didn't have to dig a hole. What this guy was saying is, Jesus, I need to go take care of my family obligations. I need to take care of all the things that I have to do in life. And when I've got everything else taken care of, when I've taken care of dad and I've taken care of my wife and I've taken care of my mom and I've taken care of the kids and made sure they had the education that they ought to have, when I take care of all those things, then I'm going to put you first. And disciples of Jesus place the spiritual above the personal. They realize that Jesus is more important than grandpa. That Jesus is more important than my friends, what they do or do not do. Jesus is more important than my marriage, more important than my children. Jesus is most important. That's what Jesus was saying here about disciples. Disciples get this. And finally, in verses 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Must have been some party, you know. You got to quit following Jesus. And Jesus says, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. I think what Jesus is saying here is that the eternal things are more important than that. I got people at my house. Jesus says, the disciples to this man, the eternal things are more important than the temporary. You got people waiting at your house, guess what? You're going to have people at your house tomorrow too, and the next day, and the next day. And when exactly are you going to put me first and realize that eternity is more important than the present? Following Jesus is about walking. And Jesus demands that we do this. Jesus doesn't expect everyone to be like us, to be his disciple, but he demands that we have him as our priority, that we have him as our focus. You know, again, as I think about the churches in Fond du Lac tonight, today, I'm not really concerned. I'll pick on Larry Witt, used to be a member of our church, pastors First Baptist right now over here. Probably just getting ready to preach about now because I think they run a little later than we do. I'm not so concerned about whether or not he is right or whether or not I have to. I don't need to approve his sermon. I do need to approve whether or not I am following Christ. What's first in me? Is it money? Is it family relationships? Is it my desires? Am I picking up the cross, embracing the cross of Jesus Christ? That is what qualifies me as a disciple. Not whether or not I'm a Southern Baptist. Lord God, thank you for these things that the Holy Spirit put together and had Luke put together here. And I think, Father, there's a lesson here on how we can discern discipleship. Discerning not whether or not someone else looks like us, or destroying those who don't look like us, but discerning whether or not we are looking like followers of Jesus Christ.